Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night Show. I'm your host, Brad Williams. Over there is Adam Ray. Our guest is Dan Levy. What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
All right. Dan Levy in the house.
Yeah.
We just found out is just getting into the podcast game.
I'm very excited. I am a veil.
What's
for podcasts.
That's weird. Like, for those of you who aren't in comedy, comedians have to call comedy clubs and say, like, hey, I'm available these days to come in, so please
send
book
in your
me.
Avails.
Yeah, send in your avails.
And then we'll, don't book me.
And we'll ignore them.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's so, say some of those
So now
clubs.
You're sending in your avails for the podcast game.
Yeah, I am. So I'm ready to go.
When did you start putting your avails in for comedy clubs, though? Like, when did you become a regular out here, like the Improv and Factory? And
like, pretty soon after I came out here. Like, I guess that was, like, what, 2003?
Well, you're good, so
yeah.
They booked
and
you.
And
quick.
You've been doing stand-up when you came out. Like, you were, do you consider yourself like you were ready to go when you came out here?
I think so, because I was in Boston,
right.
You know, for a while, and then I did like I actually did those like the Aspen and Montreal.
That's right.
Like, I did them when I was like in Boston still. So I like
when you were in college.
Yeah, I did the Aspen. You don't fucking Google me before I come on. Your
I do. I got your wiki page.
You won. You won the
title. Dude, I'm trying to act a little surprised.
We did.
I don't want to just be like, yeah, I know. And then you're like, okay, cool.
Next question. All right, cool. Yeah, we have to pretend we don't really know each other.
Come on, man. Hey, dude, let me tell you something. We've been doing a podcast for a year. I think we just found out you're just getting into it. So maybe we fucking know what we're doing here, Dan.
I guess you're right.
We've done our research that Dan Levy won the title of funniest college comedian in America at the HBO US Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen, Colorado.
Holy
shit. Suck it, Levy.
Oh, right.
And that he's starring the feature film My Sexy Is Here with the one and only Frankie Muniz.
Then my
is it Muniz or Muniz?
Muniz. That's when my acting career started and died. In that movie with Frankie Muniz.
Oh, well, I bet. I mean, you know, it's that old saying is like, never work with children, animals, or Frankie Muniz.
Is that the saying?
Yeah.
It was a real like star-studded fuckfest that movie. It was like it was so confusing.
Why wasn't it just called Star-Studded Fuckfest?
That would have sold way
more.
Yeah,
I would have gone to see it.
The only good thing is I was in Miami for 3 months. That was like the best part. But I was going out so much and drinking so much and eating so much shitty food that I actually got like terrible stomach acid. So I had a stomach problem like the entire time. That's not a good story.
That's not good.
Hey, guys, you want to hear about
puke? Let's keep talking about that for a minute.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Now, let's give a quick overview for the listeners of the Dan Levy career highlights.
Okay.
We mentioned the Aspen,
well,
the Montreal.
Well, so far you've mentioned not the good ones.
Well, it's a build-up.
Okay, we're building it.
Sure. And then you created a reality show for E.
Oh, yeah.
That followed three young slutty girls.
Yeah, that
you
was...
You created Keeping
what
Up
What was
with
it
Kardashians?
Called again?
I wish.
Hey, only one of them was slutty.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's true. It was called Pretty Wild.
That's right.
I watched Pretty Wild.
Yeah.
Dan created that show.
That was your show?
Yeah.
Holy crap. That was like Jersey Shore just before Jersey Shore.
Yeah, it was crazy. If those girls weren't burglars and heroin addicts,
yeah,
it would probably still be on the air.
Right. Because they were part
that's not how it got
the
on the air?
The Burglar Bunch.
Yeah.
No. What happened is
the
I
Burglar
met,
Bunch.
I met them.
Were they the Cabbage Patch rivals?
It was insane. I met them because I was doing – I basically was doing this MTV pilot, longest relationship.
MTV loves you. You've hosted a ton of shit. You used to host Spring Break for them.
I hosted Spring Break for MTV.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get there. But it was really fun because I was in a committed relationship.
Hosting Spring Break?
Oh, jeez.
Nightmare.
No, but you were...
That's like walking into a... It's like a fat guy walking into a donut shop with a muzzle.
Really
I could have come up with a better example, but I think
that's pretty good.
Yeah. I actually was faithful. It was kind of stupid because I just hung out. I was at spring break, and I just hung out with my diabetic cousin for fucking 2 weeks.
So everyone's out there going, you want some buttery nipples and some Jello shots? You're like, oh, my cousin can't. Yeah. He needs his insulin.
Joshua can't do this. We got to go home early.
Of course it's Joshua.
But anyways, yeah, so Pretty Wild.
Yeah.
I met these girls.
Triplets.
Yeah, no, not triplets. They were three sisters.
Oh, okay, just sisters. Okay.
They weren't all blood relatives. One was basically adopted into the family. Basically, I met these girls, started talking to her. She was like, because I was very interested in them. They were like kind of nuts, but and also very, very hot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, what situation.
Yeah, and very, very hot Trump's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was like, this is an interesting situation. So I'm like, what's going on? She's like, oh, I want to be in Playboy. My mom was in Playboy.
My grandma's in Playboy.
Yeah.
My dad right. reads Playboy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she was like, I would love my ideal situation would to be on that show, The Girls Next Door. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's kind of funny, but your mom was in Playboy. You want to be in Playboy? And she's like, yeah, but she's great. She homeschools us. And I was like, I feel like this is like a reality show. I don't think you need to be on The Girls Next Door. So then I basically, you know, went to their house and filmed them and filmed this show called Homeschool with the Arlingtons, which is basically like these three honestly kind of slutty girls who had this insane mom, and their mom taught them, and they would like be out to 5 a.m. and come home drunk. They lived in like Calabasas, and they'd like party in Hollywood, and it was like just like very – seemed like a very kind of like E-friendly show.
Totally.
Right.
So – and it was kind of random because I never did anything in reality shows, really. So, but I was like, these girls seemed like they could.
And had you created a show? Yeah, I mean, you.
No, I only had done like pilots.
Yeah, all you created your own pilots.
Created pilots, yeah. But nothing that was like getting picked up or anything. So then I went and filmed these girls, and we had this really funny like DVD of them. And we brought it to Chelsea Handler, and she was like, these girls.
Yeah, because you're regular on Chelsea Lately.
Yeah, these girls. Right. Yeah, and these girls were like, they seem pretty funny. We brought the girls into Chelsea Handler's office.
Oh, God.
And
oh
she God. And was interviewing
them. How
did
them. That go?
Please, it went great.
Please tell me they took a dump on her desk.
No, they were just like insane and like clearly high. And there's like, but whatever. God. But
Chelsea's was like, well, people will want to watch these girls.
Yeah, and it was very much a comedy. So this was a comedy show. Then we went and filmed the pilot. During the pilot,
one of them got AIDS.
No, worse. I was.
What?
I was.
Jesus, what is about to come out of your mouth?
Well, I was actually at the chiropractor's office because I'm Jewish, and I got a phone call. I get a phone.
I don't know why being a Jew has anything
it does,
to do
you know,
with
it. I don't know why either, but it makes total sense.
Totally makes total sense.
You know, my back, I need a little straightening out.
Exactly.
I need an adjustment. I think Jews say the word adjustment a lot.
They do.
So they just, it's a natural progression.
Yeah.
Adjustment.
I need a life adjustment. I need a back adjustment. I need a career adjustment. But I get a call from this chick, Amber, who was the showrunner.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey, Dan, what's going on with these girls? Like, do you not tell us something? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, are they like selling drugs? Like, what's happening? And I'm like, I actually don't know. Like, I don't know. What are you talking about? She's like, well, there's cops and there's FBI and there's a helicopter circling the house. And it turned out
what? You're like,
that
are the
these
cameras
girls,
on?
Yeah. Basically, she's like, we shut down the cameras. And I was like, well, it's time to turn them back on.
If you know anything about TV, you turn that shit on.
What so I want to buy some sneakers. Let's do this.
Yeah, have you?
So anyways, it turned out that these girls were part of the Hollywood burglar bunch, and they were actually robbing celebrities.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This was covered on TMZ like at
it was insane.
Length.
It was
like
insane.
There was like a new robbery like every week.
Yeah.
And these were just kids.
They were using social media, these like 18-year-old kids, to like find out when celebrities were going out of town. Then they would like if Paris
Holy
if,
shit.
Yeah, if Paris Hilton was like, I'm going to party in Cabo, these girls would be like, let's go fucking rob Paris Hilton. And she's such a fucking idiot. She always left her front door open.
That's probably why somebody stole my pool table when I was in Malibu. Because I was out
damn
of town.
It. Interrupting Tony Dan.
Yeah, Dan, here's the thing. I was in New York. I was doing the producers.
And
yeah, you know, I had nobody knew where I was at exactly. So these four little, I'm assuming they were black kids, rolled into my house in Malibu and took my pool table and I have a lion's head. It's
ooh.
Like a lion, like a true lion, like not a like a Simba type, like a Mufasa, like a giant, like a lion head.
Yeah.
So they took my lion head and it was, you know, I was literally on stage. I was singing When You're a Jet. No, that's not the producers. I was singing. I was in a show. I've done so many shows.
Springtime for Hitler.
Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I get a text. They took your bear. And and I was on stage and I read my text because I don't give a fuck. And anyway.
Tony, are you drunk?
Yes.
If you have to think about if you're drunk or not.
Pauses for drama. Yeah. Thank you, interrupting Tony.
Wait,
Danza.
They're making
thank
a movie on.
They made a movie.
The girls who are stealing.
Yeah, Sofia Coppola made this movie.
Jesus. Wow. Is it based on
based on my girls? But I didn't get she fucked us.
Now you got to be cast. You and Frankie Muniz got to be cast as the two like boyfriends of the
Come
girls.
Come on, I can play Paris Hilton. Give me a wig.
Now,
so that was the end of the show. After that,
no, the show got picked up after that. So then that was a pilot. The show got picked up. Did 8 episodes.
Oh, that was so that was happening when you were pitching the show. You're like, we should make this, and then the cop and the burglar thing happened, and they were like,
the show was sold. The show was getting shot, and then this whole burglar thing happened. It sort of like took off. It was insane.
Jewish party was like, what a great lead-in.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just like, all right. I mean, at one point, I was driving, and I was like, this is terrible, or is it incredible?
Yeah.
thing.
Dude, how many times a day is that said in Hollywood?
I know. This is terrible. Yeah, so anyways, and then that happened, the show basically, you know, went, and it kind of was
couple
like,
seasons?
No, it just went for one season, but it got incredibly popular because it was these girls were so crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, and the soup every week was making fun. It was just...
Which is great.
It was great. So it was really... it became, like, this insane situation. And then they all kind of slowly started imploding because they never realized that they were even on a reality show. Like, it was this weird sort of thing where we would be like, hey, girls, today you're going to go buy a cell phone. And they'd go to, like, produce buying a cell phone.
Sure.
And then, like, they'd be like, we want to buy shoes now. And you're like, no, that's not. There's no, not, there's no cameras.
Because we're at a cell phone store. Yeah, and you can't get shoes at a Sprint store, you dumb whores.
So it became a whole weird situation.
Verizon doesn't have a high heel?
Yeah.
Nothing?
You think. Now, but then that show gave you the... leverage to just get your foot in the door for more show creations.
Yeah. And then
hence Stevie TV.
Yeah. And then what happened is then Stevie Ryan, who's a really funny sort of YouTube.
YouTube sensation.
Yeah, YouTube sensation. She's hilarious. She made a parody of Pretty Wild. So actually, the Pretty Wild girls.
Oh, shit.
Sent me this link, and it was like spot on ridiculous. And I was like, got to meet this girl.
Because she does a lot of celebrity impressions and just characters.
Yeah, and everything pop culture.
She was one of the few YouTube people, quite honestly, that I had seen and watched videos. Because I know there's so many people that, you know, are considered sensations or whatever based on their, you know, daily videos or blogs or whatever. But it was pretty awesome when I heard you were doing that, because I was like, oh shit, I actually know that person and she's really funny. So that's awesome that somebody that's, because there are some YouTube people
that have
billions of hits
and you're like, wait, why you're wearing lipstick so why? I'm supposed to have a billion hits? I'm so confused.
Yeah.
It's so confusing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she was super funny, and then we met with her and I was like, we got to do some sort of you know, sketch show, some sort of pop culture show, and then we just did it. And then
and now you're in season two of that.
Season two.
You just finished it.
Yeah. Adam called me and said, I don't want to audition for it. I don't think it's my thing right now.
Dude, I don't know if you know this, but Adam Ray is coming out in this movie, The Heat.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, but dude, but it's not.
So he's big time.
But no, that's not it at all, man.
He doesn't even feature for me anymore, Dan.
Oh, come on.
He doesn't even feature for
me. My first feature time ever was.
Well, people don't feature for you because then they have to watch you fuck people after the shows. Every time.
How did you know, man?
So
word travels fast.
Just so you know, I know Adam pretty well. I know Brad. Yeah. I know you, but I don't know you as well as Adam.
Sure.
But every time I talk to you, our conversations end with you getting me extremely jealous because you're fucking someone's wife behind a dumpster in Irvine.
Wait, which time?
Yeah, exactly.
In Irvine.
Every single story is like, yeah, I mean, some people are into this shit, so I'm fucking this guy's, this guy's wife. And, like, he walks in and, like, you know, one guy picked me up, but, like, I kept on fucking her. Anyways, are you up next?
Thank you for summarizing my life, Dan.
Yeah, I'm driving home like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, my God. Dude, I feel like, by the way, you're going to have
fucking wives behind the dumpster.
By the way, you got to tell that exact story at Brad's wedding.
I know. I want
to
give the
toast. Anyway, to the bride and groom.
The first time I met Brad, he was balls deep behind a dumpster.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, want to join?
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. That reputation kind of got me in trouble. Podcast called About Last Night. Last night I was at a Hollywood Hills party at a Ralphie Mae's house. There you go.
All right.
Midget goes to Ralphie Mae's house. There's your sitcom right there. Why don't you make that into a damn reality show?
Not a bad idea.
But it was a party for his kid. It was his kid's birthday, and then because they're Hollywood parents, they said they have a daughter as well, and they said, it's her summer party too. So bring a gift for both of them. And first of all, I said, fuck that. I'm bringing the kid for the boy because that's his birthday.
Yeah.
That's what you do. No one gets a present for their summer party.
That's so weird.
Yeah, that's just such a Hollywood thing. But there's tons of kids there. And kids, when they – like, I pull up in my Mini Cooper. Yes, I drive a Mini Cooper.
just for a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a constant
For one bit,
bit
man, but for it's a great bit.
It is.
For a lot of payments.
I'm a mini guy. I drive a Mini Cooper. I drink mini bottles. Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
Who's got a wife and a dumpster? Yeah.
I will fuck anything. So I get out, and there's all these kids at this party, and they just run up to me because they see the dwarf coming out of a Mini Cooper. They're like, oh, the entertainment's here,
yeah. Where are your scarves and or balloon animals?
Oh, my God.
So the kids run up, and the first words out of this one kid's mouth is, that's a great costume, mister.
Oh, my God. What's worse, that they thought you were a costume or they called you mister?
or that you were at Ralphie Mae's birthday party.
Mr. Midget?
Mr. Midget, yeah. Call him up in the Yellow Pages. It's Mr. Midget, everybody. He comes by your kids' parties.
It sounds like a rapper, by the way, that never made it.
That's like the worst.
Yo, it's
Busta
Mr.
Rhymes
Midget.
Just signed Mr. Midget, but he never really hit with the...
It's your boy, Mr. Midget, 3 foot tall with a 10-foot dick. What's up, buddies? How's it going?
It's like the worst child entertainer ever. Like, he shows up, the kids think he's going to, like, entertain them, and then he just fucks everyone's wives.
Breaks up, ruins their childhood. That's and he goes,
I thought he was going to bring balloons. He's brought condoms and fucked my mom.
Here's a check for therapy. Ta-da! Look me up on Facebook.
Mr. Midget. So,
oh
yeah, they
so
like,
they're terrified.
Yeah, they ask you if it's a costume. I'm like, yeah, I just undo a zipper and like two other midgets pop out. And
oh like, which, by the way, you shouldn't come up with great ideas like that and then not follow through with them
yeah,
in front
seriously.
Of kids.
Come on.
Because now they're expecting at some point while they're eating macaroni and cheese and pigs in a blanket for you to pull down your... Anyway.
Another sidetrack. Did you remember when we used to go to birthday parties and they'd have like party favors for
of
all
course.
The kids?
Yeah.
They'd be like paper airplanes or like a Super Bowl or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, lifesavers.
Well, well, Ralphie's rich and awesome. So his party favors for all these kids are lightsabers. These lightsabers. And the kids see me and one kid yells out, "He's a bad guy."
You just got tagged. It's the...
Like, he's like, he's the bad guy. And then, like, these 14 kids just start running at me.
Oh, yeah.
And start just, like,
because they yes-and everything.
With the lightsabers.
Did you, like, push them off you?
I was trying to. It felt like a scene in a World War Z. Like, just all the zombies were, like, come, get off
dude,
me.
Dude, were you legitimately just scared?
Yes! I got kids belting me with lightsabers. I can't close fist punch them.
No, you have to play along with it.
No, you definitely could have.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? It's like, they came after me. What?
That's the excuse?
Yeah.
Kids walking towards his mom with a black eye. The little guy hit me. Well, he came at me first.
By the way, that's why kids are such good actors and, like, improvisers, because they just, like, one kid goes, "He's the bad guy." The other 15 just yes and immediately. They're like, "Exactly. That's what I was thinking."
Yeah.
We need an excuse to use these lightsabers that Ralphie May gave us.
But you were telling me when we walked up here that at the end of it, you become best friends with them. So how did this tale...
Well, here's the thing, is that after they were beating me with the lightsabers, there's this
one of them stood back and goes, "Guys, this ain't right."
it's like the after-school PSA.
Yeah, exactly.
It became a bullying commercial.
You know what? Beating a dwarf with Fisher-Price lightsabers isn't as cool as it thinks. Hi, I'm Tommy. I'm 10.
It would be really funny if today you killed yourself and all those kids, it was like their fault.
Oh, shit.
Na, 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 na. And Ralphie had to like call all the kids' parents and be like, "Hey, your kid sort of hit that dwarf at the thing, and now he killed himself."
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I said dwarf.
By the way,
like Tim Conway. You're doing a Tim Conway, be like dwarf on golf or something.
Yeah,
and lightsabers would be taken off the market.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. So they're all beating me, and there's this little girl named Amber, and she's over on the curb.
Is she Princess Leia?
And by the way. All the parents, not helping, laughing their asses off.
Oh,
at the
see,
fact.
That's the worst part.
Exactly. And then this little girl named Amber, I guess she's queen or something, because just literally right out of a movie just goes, "Everybody stop!" And everyone just stops. Like, they stop beating me. I'm looking at Amber like, "What's happening?" And then she looks at me and she goes, "He's cute." Son of a bitch!
Here we go.
Now I have this new problem. Because the girl, like, walks up to me and, like, gives me a big hug and just, like, grabs me.
And you have to fuck everything, so you're losing it.
So you're like, all right,
like,
do I go to jail or do I take a beating
what
from
do
these
I do?
Toys?
It's a lose-lose situation. Dick, stop. Oh, fuck, I'm fucking her.
I've had sex with enough midgets where my dick sees a tiny woman and goes, "Wait, is this cool?" And we're like, no, this is not cool.
How many midgets have you had sex with?
Oh, at least 14.
At least 14.
Yeah, well, there's a couple.
All in Brea.
there was a couple hybrids that didn't know if they were midget or Mexican or Asian, or I didn't know what they were. So, like, maybe 14.
Definitely has AIDS.
So the girl says you're cute, and then...
Yeah, she runs up and grabs my hand and goes, "We're married now." I'm like, okay, all right. This is not legal in any state but Utah. Okay.
Yikes.
So she starts walking around the party holding my hand going, "This is my husband.
Oh, God.
This is my husband."
Yeah, and the parents are probably thinking this was your idea because they just like, you know.
Yeah, they see me coming up and I have this mustache that I have now.
Oh, Jesus.
So,
yeah.
So that's not good.
Yeah, that's a new thing, by the way.
You got to shave that off.
Well, I mean.
No, not well. Absolutely. You got to lose that.
Well, I did it for a Vine that I posted because I had like all the facial hair and then I just.
No one should ever
say I did this for a Vine.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's the first point.
So I had like the beard and everything, and I look at the camera. I say how to be a pedophile, and then the next shot is everything is shaved off except the mustache, and I just say nice, like that. So that was the Vine. But then I just decided to keep it for a couple of days, including going to a kid's party.
Yeah, that might have been the time to shave it, by the way. As you're holding her hand, there might not be a creepier picture in the world. And she goes, this is my husband. And I can only imagine you don't want to shoot down the little imagination world she's created. So you just look at her and you go, yep. And all the parents are like, what the fuck is going on?
There are FBI agents at Ralphie May's house right now.
So now Ralphie's house pops up on meganslaw.com. It sucks. It sucks for Ralphie.
It's great.
And there's comedians there, so they're all just commenting on it like crazy. Yeah. No one's helping. Like Ralphie May's there, Jeff Ross is there, Gilbert Gottfried. And by the way, Gilbert Gottfried was doing an excellent Gilbert Gottfried impression. Like, you know how they say, like, never meet your heroes because they'll always disappoint you? Not Gilbert Gottfried.
Dude,
I walked up. I've never met the guy before. So I walk up and I go, hey, Gilbert, I'm Brad Williams.
You are the tiniest person I have ever seen. You are holding the hand of a little girl whose butthole is the size of your nose.
Essentially. Were you there? Gilbert's first words to me, I go, hey, Gilbert, my name is Brad Williams. I'm a comic. He goes, excellent. I'm cold, I'm tired, and my AIDS is acting up.
Jesus. That's amazing.
Thank you, Gilbert Gottfried, for being Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah, exactly. Just doing your fucking thing.
Dan, has there been any – so you've been in L.A. for over 10 years. You said you got
here
in 90 –
I've been here for 10 years, yeah.
Let me check your Wikipedia. 10 years?
2003.
I've been here for 10 years. Yeah, well, actually, 12 years. I think – you know, you're like one of the first – people I met that I felt that was like a comic doing well that I was like felt that, like I would because I met you at
Laugh Factory,
the ITV Fest before that.
Oh right,
you were hosting that, and I had my sketch show pilot in that.
Yeah, yeah,
and you were hosting
it. Adam TV, Adam Ray TV.
There it is. It's all right. You're like every other host at a comedy show, and they're like, this guy's got a great site, a lot of views on adam.tv.ray.jufuck. What is it?
Here we go. Put your hands together for Adam Roy.
Yeah, dude. I'm just like, dude, don't even say
this.
This
next guy knows Chris D'Elia. Yeah. Adam Roy.
So they.
That's your lead credit, though, isn't it?
It was for a little bit until I got a Corey in the gym. It was funny, I got that. I was telling somebody that the other day. And they're like, you did any TV stuff? I was like, yeah, man, I did a guest star on Aquarian Gym in 2007. And as I was, as I walked off the lot that day, I was just like, here we go.
I'm on Aquarian Gym.
Cut to 2008. Fuck. 2009. Yeah. Fuck.
2010.
Fuck. 2011.
Hey,
fuck.
Tommy, come on, man. You passed me at
2012. Hey, Chris, you going to Tempe still?
Yeah, but so I met you. You were hosting that thing, and then I saw you were at the Laugh Factory one night, and I was like, I need to start going to clubs and meeting people. So I bought a ticket and went to like go see Dane, and you were on it just to like because I was talking to somebody about this.
Wait,
about
that's
like,
how good things were going for you. You had to buy a ticket.
Oh yeah, yo, I hadn't jumped into I wasn't in stand up.
You were still at USC, weren't you?
I just graduated.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so I didn't even start stand-up until 07. Okay. I did like a couple frat parties and then two Vargas shows in 4 years. That's not doing it.
Gotcha.
Even though I still was like, I do stand-up.
You're one of those guys.
Yeah. No, I went up at the Comedy Store. Yeah, I crushed it for 7 minutes. Yeah, you know Vargas Mason? He was on it. So,
by the way, how many times do you meet people who are like, my friend's a stand-up comedian. His name is Dickie McJoke.
He performs at the Comedy Store. Cool, man. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Everyone does. Yeah. And also, I think we're all now in the working community of it. So it's like, if you hear a name and you don't recognize it, you're like, yeah, they're not doing it a lot.
But he's real funny. He's got a thing about getting a haircut.
And I've had people to like argue with me. They're like, nah, he's doing. I'm like, nah, he's probably not doing all that much. No, he's up. He performed all the time. He just did.
He just did Marvin
Cantor's or N Bar.
Yeah,
the N Bar. No, this was the N Bar. Oh, well, then that's definitely not a place that you do comedy.
N-bar. It's in Compton.
But then the worst, yeah. Then the other side of it is people are like, you're doing comedy, yeah, things are going well. Are you good buddies with Louis C.K.?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no,
the best. Yeah.
That's half my conversations. Well, I know of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the?
I mean, I'm
yeah.
aware.
I wonder if like, yeah, yeah. So I mentioned the Laugh Factory, just and I went there just to, like get to have some conversation with you, just to like continue like build some rapport with people that I was like, oh, should I have any like remnants of a relationship with? And then I would keep seeing you around, and you were just like nice to me, and I was like, shit, man, so it was awesome. Because there's a lot, because hey, man, you meet a lot of people that are doing well that like you're, I mean, shit, man, I it was, you know, see you killing it, and I'm just like, you know, aspiring, and it, you have to have people like that, because it's not like you were, you know. Had seen me go up or whatever, because I wasn't doing a lot. But you at least were like nice enough to make me feel comfortable about and giving encouraging words to be like, yeah, man, fucking keep doing it and whatever. And you'd, I think, seen maybe some of my stuff at the
ITV
Fest.
Yeah, well, I thought you
were
funny. Basically, it's like if I think you're funny, then it's like you're cool. And
right.
And just sort of like that's all it really comes down to.
Right.
It's such a validation when you go out to like and you see comics and you're just like, well, I don't know if I should talk to that guy or not. And then he kills it or she kills it. And you're like, all right, I could talk to them now. They are worthy of my conversation.
Of course, yeah. Or the best way ever is when someone comes over to you and goes, hey, man, you're really funny. And you're like, well, I love you. Even though you might hate every Jews or everything else.
Right.
You may be racist, but you thought I'm funny.
He walks up with the swastika shirt that says, Heil.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I murdered your mom, but good set. Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. I'm working out new stuff, but I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, this guy's got a pretty good taste in comedy.
But did you ever get, when you got out here, when you start, because you obviously hit the ground running and you were on good shows and everything, did you get starstruck at all by people, because or by comics, or I mean, because now it's like I feel like you just, even like if Louis comes into town, I'm like, oh my god, but I'm a little desensitized to it because you just see.
I mean, I remember seeing like Chris Rock at the Comedy Store and
totally
being like, oh shit,
yeah, it was a huge deal.
This is fucking crazy, yeah. But I mean, I was just excited to like see everyone because you come out to LA and it's like everyone, sure, like at the Laugh Factory or anywhere, it's just the people you would see like on like Premium Blend or any of these shows, so you kind of come to LA and it's like, this is like the real deal.
The craziest part is it's like right out of those scenes in Comedian where like you see the scene of Jerry Seinfeld bombing on stage and you realize like Jerry is the top of this business, like you really can't get any higher than Jerry Seinfeld, and he's doing the exact same thing you're doing.
Yeah,
like
crazy.
He's going on the same stages, he's got sometimes notes in front of him going through it, and like no matter how. Because basically what I'm trying to say is you don't see Ken Griffey Jr. going to the batting cages at, yeah, like the putt, like the house and putt or something and just be like, ah, I'm going to try some, you know, take some cuts.
Right.
Well, that's what's so great about comedy is there's no easy way to get good,
yeah,
except by constantly doing it.
Yeah. Don't you feel like that's the advice you tell anybody that asks? Like, cause,
yeah.
And starting out here is the worst, which I did. And it's like now I feel when I have young friends from college or whatever sit me down and go, how do I just, like, I've been doing these bringer shows for about 6 months. I think I'm ready to do, and they're going well. Like, how do I get, like, it's impatience. Like, how do I get better quicker?
Yeah,
and it's like, man, there's, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just glad that I'm not in your position anymore.
Yeah, I know. You, like, just have to basically just keep on doing it.
Sure.
And just get older. No, I mean, I
dude,
feel
totally,
like, I feel like I'm just thinking like I'm kind of getting funny now.
Yes.
You know?
Dude, just in this past year, do I feel like I'm kind of being like, I think I know who I am on stage now.
Yeah.
Or I'm like a little, like the point of view starting to shape.
Especially
but,
like when I first started doing comedy, I was like, I mean, you know, I was like
when
falling.
When you start, how old are you?
I was like 18, you know.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah. when I was in Aspen, I was like literally just turning 20.
How long have you been doing it when you got into a big festival?
I was only doing it for, like, seriously doing it in Boston. I mean, like, every night.
Yeah.
It was, like, only, like, 2 years, 3
Jesus.
Years.
Wow.
So I, like, went there.
I got to get it more Jewish. I got to get more Jewish-sounding last name. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, dude. You got
to. But it was crazy.
How
like,
about Jesus Christ?
That's
not bad. I think it's taken.
I used to do jokes about.
I think that's taken.
But wait, what? But now, see, and that's the thing that is the problem out here is that, like, people hear stories of, like, that. Like, I was only in it for 2 years, and I got a big festival, so they think, like, you know,
right.
How so I can do it for 2 years. How come I'm not getting shit now? It's like,
but
well,
then
man,
you
everyone's
realize,
gonna...
like, the festival, like, doesn't really, you want to, like, make money. So, like, the festivals are good, but, like, it's not like those things are, like, complete life changers. Where at
right.
the time, you're like, oh my God,
it's
if I just.
That was here according to Jim.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, if I just do Premium Blend,
yeah,
my life will change.
Isn't that crazy?
And then you do Premium Blend, and you're like, all right, staring at the phone.
Cool, yeah.
And, like,
it's
your manager won't even call you back. Yeah. Like, what the fuck's happening?
This guy, Adam Ray, keeps showing up at comedy clubs trying to talk to me.
Yeah,
what the fuck's going on?
I'm
going to
kill myself.
Yeah. What?
I have one fan, Adam Ray.
That's not a bad fan though. What was like your first bits that you were doing at the festival?
Oh, I did a joke. I mean, it was pretty terrible and embarrassing to think about it. But I used to like close with a joke about buying condoms and how people are people are embarrassed to buy condoms. But I love buying condoms because if you're buying condoms, you're having sex, and having sex is awesome. So I would so I would do a whole thing about like kicking down the CVS door, being like, "Hello, CVS, where's the condom aisle?" You know, and just to show like the my age in comedy, like I started off like closing the joke about condoms, and now like my whole set is about having a baby.
Yeah, wow.
So I never found that condom aisle, I guess.
That's hilarious. But I think, by the way, when you buy condoms at a store, this is a side note. There is nothing – you have to buy condoms by themselves.
You don't wear condoms. Come on. What are you doing? Fake – what are you trying to have a fake conversation with me right now?
This is Brad's Jay Leno.
I was wearing condoms.
So speaking of condoms, listeners, I wear condoms. I don't have AIDS. Everyone fuck me. That's what that thing was for Brad, trying to pretend he's
clean. Responsible.
He's responsible.
Well, but here's why I don't wear condoms. Because when you buy them at the store, you have to buy them by themselves, because if you buy anything else with condoms, it looks creepy, no matter what the object is. Like, you could just buy, like, all right, well, I want – like, because I once went to a CVS and a light bulb went out and I needed condoms, so I literally got a stepladder and condoms.
No, dude, you're exactly right. I used to work at a I used to work at Albertsons in high school, and I was a checker, right? And people would come through with stuff, and when they would buy condoms, it always come with a couple other items. Like, and I have to make small talk with them, so and it always make small talk off their items. So it'd be like, you know, condoms and Pop Tarts and a hot glue gun, and I was like, oh, cool, man, what are you up to tonight? Like, he's just having, you know, just eating some Pop Tarts. Oh, cool, man, what are those condoms doing there? Yeah. Like, I like that you try to mask
fuck these Pop Tarts
and fucking shoot the glue gun.
Yeah, there's like nothing that you could buy. And I know why people buy stuff with condoms, because they want to like mask the condoms and like just throw it in at the last
but
second.
But it always,
like, oh yeah, and this too, by the way.
You have to, by the way, buy like $200 worth of groceries to mask it. You can't buy two other things.
Right. Because, it's like, oh, I got these condoms and a claw hammer. Whoa, buddy.
Some fruit by the foots. I'm going to wrap my dick in some fucking fruit roll up and then stick it in a.
There's nothing you can
step ladder, yeah.
Wait, but I didn't know you had a kid. How old is your kid?
Oh, brand new kid.
Brand new, so you got like a 2013 kid.
Yeah.
All right.
I do.
His dick works, everyone.
There we go.
That's a big deal.
It's a real big deal.
Now, married? Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Married, good. Okay.
Married to a sweet, gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
Well, because now when like my friends have kids, you always got to be like, congratulations.
Right, yeah, because you don't know if it was planned or not. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. No, this was planned.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't totally planned, but we like wanted to have a kid.
Sure.
We're married.
Yeah, it's kind of like the next step. So you did the old-fashioned way.
Exactly.
Oh, you got married first?
I know,
it's
weird.
What's wrong with you?
I know, but we got a baby, Abe. It's pretty cool.
That's such a great name, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
That's awesome. I mean, it's super Jewy, but it's a great name.
Yeah.
But it's a you just don't hear. I mean,
Abe Levy.
Abe Levy.
Wow,
dude, that's so awesome.
He's gonna be a fucking awesome rabbi.
Abe Levy.
He's either gonna be a rabbi or our agents.
You just gave birth to your future representation.
Yeah,
the only person I could trust.
Is that why you had a kid? Because you just said you just left your manager. Is that why?
I need to have a manager. Yeah, so I was like, I'm just gonna fuck my wife and get a manager.
Wait, no.
He's only taking 5%.
I made you. Yeah. Life was your other 5%.
He's working at Levity.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
What about, your life's changed, obviously. Like,
you know, it hasn't really changed that much.
Yet.
Really? Yet. I mean, right now.
It's the early baby stage where he's just sleeping and shitting. And
he sleeps.
You're trying not to.
We don't.
Sure he's breathing all the time.
Yeah, the sleeping is definitely, you know, weird, because for the past 6 weeks we've never had, like, we haven't slept through the night. Mm-hmm. So it's like you wake up every couple hours and sort of like, you know, well, she kind of wakes up and I just sort of am like, you need me to do anything just to be nice.
Yeah, because I'm having a pretty sweet dream right now. Yeah. I'm on a hot air balloon with the fucking girls from
Pretty Wild.
Yeah. I was going to say Wild and Out.
That'd be the weirdest dream.
With a cast of Wild and Out, we're on a hot air balloon. We're going to Greece for the day.
I'm with Nick Cannon. Don't wake me up.
Cannon, Corey Holcomb, and Cat Williams. We are smoking this hot air balloon.
I'm with Nick Cannon. Don't wake me up is a great fucking name of your next comedy CD.
So right now, it's been okay. I mean, it's definitely like a crazy transition to be like, we're taking care of this kid. But then when you see a little baby, you're like, this is so cute. I got to take care of this baby.
I mean, you know? When you were there for the birth.
I was there for the birth.
Was that? Right. Did you watch it?
No, well, it was a 17-hour labor. Holy so Jesus. It was, like, pretty insane.
You just watched all of Arrested Development? Yeah. Like, no, cool, y'all be there.
Oh, shit. And then it was a C-section, so then we had to go to the operating table, and it was like... After all that, then she still had to have a C-section.
She's a trooper. Wow. God. Yeah, so how did she feel after all that? I mean, was she drugged
terrible.
Up?
Terrible. She was awful. Drugged up, but it was so tiring. God. But then you get the baby, and you're like, oh, it's all worth it. It's great, so... Yeah, so he's cool. It's just, you know, now I'm just sort of waiting to see
so
how he's going to be.
As a comic, because I know whenever, like, shitty things happen to me, I go, ah, crap, this shitty thing just happened to me. But then my immediate second thought is, can I make this funny?
Yeah.
Like, so now are you, like, watching him?
Are you
all
saying
the time
his baby is a shitty thing that happened to him? Where are you going with this,
he's
Brad?
He's thinking about him having a baby,
yeah,
which he definitely has several of throughout the country. Just look at the Carlos Mencia tour of 2008.
Just track the city. Go back and look at the schedule.
Exactly.
And find the name of the place that he stayed at, and that's where the baby was made.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what? You know how you give birth to your representation? Yeah. I need couches to crash on.
Understandable.
We're playing a tour next year, Dan. You think every club's putting us up?
No way. I give birth to a manager. You give birth to Twitter fans.
Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious.
But no, it's not shitty things, but if like,
right, but it's,
you know,
a dramatic,
like, life
experience.
I was changing him and he pissed in his mouth and I was like, this is too funny. So I had to talk about that on stage.
Yeah, man.
Like, that was sort of like, I mean, because, you know, I'm trying to be, the thing is, I'm trying
and
to
it's
be
not like
adult.
You had, yes, and it's not like you had the kid for, and people, when they're, it's like, oh, now you got all this new, 50 minutes of new material. It's like, yeah, I do, because like, I have a, you know, point of view specific to me. So how I'm going to look at the having a child is going to be different from Louis C.K., you know? So,
yeah, exactly. Trying to, like, you know, I'm trying, not writing, like, that much, but there's definitely been, like, times where I'm like, all right, I got to tell. I mean, because I was changing him, and he starts pissing in his mouth. And as a father, you're supposed to stop that, but it was too funny that I was like, get my phone,
yeah,
film this!
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the producer in you. Is there a show where kids pee in their mouths and get judged for it?
I'm pretty sure E will pick that up.
Yeah.
They did.
They did. It's called...
it's called Pissing in Your Mouth with Babies. Not a great title.
Yeah, we'll work on it, man.
Hosted by R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's funny.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have... Now, you were saying, I just now have to wait and see how he turns out. Like, what do you want him to be?
No,
because every parent, I'm sure you look and you're just like, you start fantasizing, like, you know... I'm sure my mom wasn't like, yeah, I want him to be a fat kid who tells me he wants to be a Ninja Turtle when he grows up.
I want him to be like as cool as Emile Hirsch and as strong as LeBron James.
Jesus.
Wow, that's incredible.
Not that there's unreasonable expectations on your kid or anything like that.
By the way, I hope when he grows up he pronounces it Emile Hirsch the proper way, not Emile.
I like calling it Emile. I thought that was a joke. I thought you guys were going to laugh. Yeah. Like, oh, he really wants to be like Emile, the great actor.
Well, but see, I just assume that Jewish people know how to pronounce things better than me, so I just went with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll still call him Emile, but I think that's a funny...
But that's a dope. That's also a great nickname.
He seems like he's a funny, serious person. Like,
he's awesome. I did a read. He is at the same management company as me.
Okay, we get it. You have a manager. Way to rub it in.
Dan has to give birth to his. People just come after
hey
you.
Man,
Adam,
hey,
right?
Man. I got it after, according to Jim. And,
understandable.
Yeah, you Belushi told, got me the meeting.
You told Emile your friends with Chris D'Elia.
Yeah,
and
he got me the reading. No, but he was doing a movie he wrote, an independent film. I don't know if it's still happening, but they needed a guy just to read one of the parts. My manager got me in or whatever and hung out with him for a while. Cool as fuck. And, I mean, you know, Girl Next Door and Into the Wild are two of my favorite movies.
Good movies.
But anyway, so I can.
He just wanted to say that.
No, I want to tell you that he told me to tell you it's Emile Hirsch, and go fuck yourself.
Well,
and he's also
don't
a huge
be a dick about it.
No, but then he said, "I'm a huge fan of My Sexiest Year. Do you have Frankie Muniz's number?"
I said,
"It's Muniz," and no, I don't.
I've got to ask you a question, Dan. Because you were a writer on Whitney for all
the seasons? Whole time,
the whole time,
the whole time,
dude. Like to be a sitcom writer, like these things don't just pop out and they're done. Like people have to actually sit down and write these things.
Yeah.
How's that process? Is it just you writing an episode? Are you in a room with all the writers writing an episode?
Yeah, you're in a room with like all the writers and Whitney, and then you sort of like break down episodes. People pitch like personal stories because the show is like all like relationship based.
Totally.
A lot of like just like funny shit that happened to you.
So you get the story first.
Yeah.
The jokes are going to come out. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, so Whitney would be like, who got into a fight this week? What'd you fight about? You know, like that kind of shit. And then we go, okay, that's a good idea. And then you start like breaking down the story. You know, and you'd be like, all right, then this could happen. Then you kind of figure it out. Then, oh, what will the guys do? Then you kind of have the B story.
Pretty collaborative. Everybody chimes in. I mean, and you just kind of a lot of
it's awesome.
And take.
It's like really fun. You know, like it's a really.
Yeah, because you hear stories about people that wrote on SNL or were cast members of SNL, how like cutthroat as is that everyone wants to get their sketch in? Is it like that where everyone's just sitting there like, my story has to work?
I think in the beginning, especially with Whitney, people who didn't know Whitney, you know, mm-hmm. I think they were trying to like just like prove like, hey, I'm, you know, like trying to pitch jokes
for sure.
and stuff.
Well, but you had a built-in relationship.
I like known her for so long, so I wasn't like trying to impress her.
Right.
I was just trying to. Just,
that's a huge. I mean, that's a huge advantage though, by the way, like I can only assume the people that get some certain writing jobs, you know, are stoked about it and like feeling good. But like, yeah, like you still have to having to prove yourself.
Yeah.
In front of people that don't know you, even though they, you know, they
and also,
booked
you know, Whitney's so funny. So it's like, you're also, people are like intimidated. It was interesting, like, on the second season where she was like, the first season, it was like, this is Whitney. She's a comedian. No one knows her. And then it was like, second season, she was like, Whitney, she's got 17 shows. She's like,
she's a talk show.
Like,
she's got two broke girls.
Yeah.
She's
so then it's like,
show.
Okay, let me try to
be
funny.
She may come by to do her part. Some other girl just may read it for the 5 days and then she comes in and does it at the end or
something
like that.
Yeah. So it was a whole different thing. But it was
good or bad to be friends with somebody who's your boss like that?
It was good. I mean, for us, it was good because, you know, I felt like, you know, at times.
You have like a brother-sister relationship.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. So at times it was like, it's always weird because, you know, her schedule was insane.
Yeah.
So like she
How
was
often
literally,
was she there?
I mean, literally.
She'd oversee two broke girls, but right? Or be with you guys all day and then do notes on that?
She would just basically be with us all day. I think two broke girls on the weekend. But when the talk show started, I mean, she was saying it too. I mean, she was literally dying. I mean, it was like so insane, and she was like,
but
never
she had
there.
To do it.
She had to do it. So it was just sort of hard to like, you know, balance sort of like everything, you know. So people would be like freaking out in the room, be like, "Where's fucking Whitney? We need to do this thing." And then
you need an answer to a question or something approved. So after a while, she's just like, "Hey, I trust that you guys are gonna write this funny because I can't be here."
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So it was pretty intense, but it was really fun. I mean, you were there a bunch. It was like, you know, the live.
Yeah, you guys were awesome.
A live like sitcom taping is just like super fun, and you know.
Well, yeah, like when I was on According to Jim, it was it was like a family, man. And it was like a.
It really was.
I did one episode, but it felt like I was there for 8 seasons.
Yeah, it was. Just
and I'm
like
I'm half joking, but even in one day, man, I got super tight with a lot of people there. And I even said to one of the writers, because he was like, man, that was really funny. He's like, maybe we can try to find a way to write you back. And in my head, I was like, please fucking do that, because right now I wear Wolverine claws at a theme park, and I would love to be here instead.
Yeah.
But
and they say that Chris D'Elia is really a young Jim Belushi. That's like a thing.
Do they really?
No.
Adam believes everything.
I do.
Hey, guys. You know, you guys talk about your sitcoms. I was on a sitcom called Sam and Cat on the Nickelodeon Network.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. How's that?
I've done it.
Yeah, you did it.
One episode,
live audience.
Did you fuck Sam and Cat?
Nobody fucked the cat. And we'll be right back with more Brad fucked the cat last week.
Brad fucks everything.
Yeah. Brad fucks
that
everything.
Is your show, by the way. I hope that's in development.
Is it a coincidence that I was looking at a copy of The Cat in the Hat as I said that?
Brad, you were.
I like that there's like just like boxes.
Brad'll fuck you if you're Brad.
And two dumbbells.
Brad'll fuck you if you're fat. Brad'll fuck your
is
neighbor's cat.
Is this a drug dealer's apartment, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Based on the Dr. Seuss books?
No, like there's like it's like fake lived in, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So like they're moved in, but not really.
That looks like the stuff that's set up in a place when they're showing it to people.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I live on Laurel. Wink, wink.
Well,
speak couch is coming.
Does anyone know where to clean money?
Speaking of this apartment. We put it out to our followers on Twitter and our listeners of the podcast that we need to sort of name the studio because, you know, Mark Maron has the cat ranch.
Jay Moore, our new boss, has the fake mustache studios. That's the whole, you know.
Yeah, so people do stuff. I think Eddie Ift has the best one ever, which is the rape cottage.
No, I was there. I was there 2 weeks ago. That's what kicked off my podcast tour.
Oh, we're not the first?
No.
God, here
you
I am.
Son of a bitch.
Here I am thinking we popped your cherry and you were in the bleachers fucking Eddie Ift 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, it's with Eddie Ift.
All right.
Oh, my God. Well, now we know you're diseased.
Yeah, I definitely got some weird disease in that Venice fucking K-hole. I walk in, he's like, going to do my podcast? I thought it was going to be something like this. There's like a bunch of guys hanging out. There's literally like 10 whores, some fucking drunken surfers, some angry homeless guys running in.
Sounds like the set of Three Ninjas.
What a reference!
Yeah, hey, man.
Oh,
Three Ninjas? Rocky loves Emily.
Rocky loves Emily. Wow.
I love that fucking
Tum Tum. Tum Tum's everyone's favorite.
That's a fucking
Wasn't the guy who played Kino in Ninja Turtles 2 in that?
I think
that was Surf Ninjas.
Also with Rob Schneider.
Oh, wow.
Rob Schneider.
You know what? That's it.
How's he doing?
Great.
Stand up.
My manager just signed him.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's your manager?
This guy named Matt Goldman.
Okay.
Oh, Matt great Goldman.
Sounds like everyone's manager.
Yeah.
Like, last name Goldman.
It's a great dude. Good.
Well, we put it out to our listeners to suggest names for the studio where we're going to be doing it. And
we'd like some suggestions from you, Dan, but also Brad needs to read some of these Twitter suggestions
okay,
that we got.
Let's do it.
Let's.
Maybe you can help us decide based on these.
Okay.
The Dysentery Cafe, Temple Beth Jidget. which is
that's just confusing.
With it, which is a reference to the More Stories podcast that Adam and I did when we said we're a Jew and a midget, we're a jidget. So they said Temple Beth Jidget, the jizz bucket.
The jizz bucket.
That's dude, not that creative.
By the way, that was Charlie Bucket's nickname in high school.
The jizz bucket.
By the way, how poor are you that your last name is the thing your whole family pisses in? Because that family was so poor, obviously.
Obviously.
Nobody addressed. All right, jizz bucket. What else?
The morning after studio. Plan B studio. There's a theme here.
Not bad, yeah.
These are all suggestions from ex-girlfriends. the midget mansion. The fuckatorium.
Fuckatorium. That sounds like something like the principal would say on his last day when he knows he's getting fired. He's like, class, there's an assembly in the, you know what, the fuckatorium. I don't give a fuck. It's an auditorium, but I'm fucking in it after you guys leave tonight.
What about the shitty sublet cafe?
Ooh, I actually kind of like that.
The something cafe I like.
Okay.
So let's take half that.
The
shitty, I don't know, because I just feel like you're putting down my apartment right now.
And I'm kidding, because you know I fucking love this place.
Then they go to
the coffee bean.
Dwarf references.
Love that car wash.
It's a car wash. Two car washes nearby. That's such true. A Jewish thing. There's two car washes nearby. Two car washes.
They're doing well.
CB2, what else do you need?
Yeah. They got the Shire, Oz. The thing is, it's your apartment,
Oz.
Man, so we can't
something. Well, that's our something Oz related, mm-hmm. And then something Jewy Oz, like maybe like.
Well, okay. Here's one that got suggested by a couple of different people, and it kind of combines our talents, kind of a fucked up way. But let's just read it.
I don't know if I'm gonna like this.
probably not.
Also, what are your talents? What are your combined talents?
Fucking cats.
Fucking my dumpster. That's what I do. My
Tony Dan's impression and getting AIDS.
Hey man, sometimes you get both. By the way, that's my ice cream flavor I'm pitching to Ben and Jerry. Tony Danza's fucking cats and getting AIDS in dumpsters. Eh, it's a work in progress. You know, I also got a show idea, Dan, that maybe we could work on. We could talk about after this podcast.
Yeah,
it's basically
me,
okay?
I love it already.
And I'm working at a car wash, okay?
Oh, you know I love car washes.
I know you do. But I'm also a failed musician. I used to play the triangle in a band called Frankie Muniz Tits.
That's a terrible name of a band.
Hey, well, you just talked yourself out of VIP tickets to the first show at the Troubadour. All right. So what else do we got?
So here it is.
I like that you're playing at the Troubadour.
It's the best venue in the world.
They would hire him. All right. This combines us. I got a tweet from one guy that said, well, Brad, your people make cookies, and Adam's a Jew, so why don't you call it the oven? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That happened.
This podcast has been brought to you by
anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism. Dude, can't get on board with any oven jokes, man.
Yeah,
I just
that's where we draw the line.
Yeah.
Well, then you're definitely going to hate the next one.
Jesus. By the way, this is what my dad said before he walked out on my mom and I. If you don't like oven jokes, you're definitely not going to like this next one. I don't love your mother anymore. What? How's that an oven joke? It's not. I just need a segue. All right, keep going.
Can I borrow $2?
Can I borrow $2?
Need to get my car washed. All right.
This one is Dwarf Schwitz.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you need it. If you wanted to have, you know, we were talking about making you more Jewish. I guess if you need to change your name.
That's, yeah.
I don't know.
Dwarf Schwitz.
Yeah, that's kind of. Eh.
Well, now it just makes me think there's a dwarf concentration camp out there.
There probably
God.
Is. I think it started last night at Ralph and May's birthday party.
Oh, shit.
What getting a callback then, Lee.
Getting beat, that's the closest thing we're going to see to it, is nine-year-olds beating midgets with fucking plastic lightsabers.
And Gilbert Godfrey stands on the side and laughs.
That's a midget holocaust.
It sounds like a wet dream I had last night. You oh think Anne Frank had it bad? Brad Williams was beaten by Star Wars toys next to a pool by eight-year-olds.
So we're definitely not going with Dwarf Schwitz. That's not going to
happen. Were those the only options?
Those were the best ones.
Oh, Jesus, man. So I mean, I don't, like, you know, what would you, I mean.
Temple Beth Oz? I don't know. That might
the Wicked Witch of the Kike? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
Holy shit. You are a TV writer. That's incredible. Now, how many jokes, like the way we're riffing jokes right now is probably somewhat similar to the way it is in the writer's room. Right?
Yeah, well, they also will do things where they'll, you know, you have a story room going, and then you'll have, like, an alt room, which is, like, a joke alt room.
Awesome.
So you basically, you know, a lot of times I'd go in there, and we just sort of, that way, basically, in that room, you're just, like, sitting there with, like, two or three other people, and you're just, like, just going every line. Just
and I was watching you on set sometimes too. I mean, the same way it was when I did the Heat. Like they'd have you know somebody come up with you, the writer, and just give you like post-it notes of being like, "Now say this."
Yeah.
And you were doing that a lot, and based on the laughter of the audience, really, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I saw you do one where you, I think it was a joke. I don't know if you even remember, but it was something where Whitney said something about. I don't know if it was getting drunk with Katie Couric, or there was a senator you guys made fun of at the time.
Oh, yeah.
But you changed. I saw you write something down and give it to him, and it went from kind of laughs to a fucking applause break, and I was like, awesome.
Yeah. It's,
and then
it's,
I saw you walk back to the monitor kind of like,
I did that.
Yeah.
That now was give me a celery with peanut butter on it.
I've earned it.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, because people don't understand, like, when, because it is in front of a live audience, so sometimes a joke doesn't work. Just like in stand-up, we write jokes. Sometimes they don't work. But and then when that happens, Whitney just kind of looks at all the writers and goes, okay, that didn't work. Think of something right now.
And that was what was really fun about having, like, Chris and Whitney and then this season with Tone Bell.
Yeah.
You know, because the comics, you just kind of go, hey, just say this now. And Chris was, like, the best, like, right away. It was, like, he was just sort of, like.
And you had to make it funny.
Yeah. I remember, like, the first episode we taped, I went over to him and, like, pitched him this really weird, long, like, Home Alone 2 rant joke. And he was like, wait, what? Blah, blah, blah. And then he said it, and it was great. But, like, you know, it's pretty awesome, dude.
And, I mean, it really is. And you have a small amount of time, because these audiences are staying there for 4 or 5. Like, when I was on According to Jim, we did the audience was there for four.
By the way, this is the most time According to Jim has ever been referenced.
By the way, check out my scenes on my reel on YouTube, Adam Ray 24 on YouTube.
If you want to see his epic 10 seconds on According to Jim.
I had 3 scenes, motherfucker.
Excuse me.
I was the main guest star. They were going to write me back into it, but they got canceled 2 days later. Was it because of my episode? We'll talk about it on the next podcast. No,
that was a good show.
But thank you.
No, it wasn't.
And I liked it. I said thank you as if I had anything to do with it other than the reason it got canceled.
Like, you were, like, proud to be involved. You're like, oh, yeah, the 8-year run, it was all me.
Yeah,
thank
you,
man.
Well, that last
show.
Episode is what people are talking about.
Yeah, it might come back on Netflix.
Yeah. Courtney Thorne Smith just had another baby. They want to fucking.
Could you imagine a Kickstarter for According to Jim? A kill starter.
We're going to pay this much money to make sure this never happens again.
Yo, do you know what, though? Henry Winkler.
By the way, that's a great idea.
A Kickstarter for According to Jim?
No, killstarter.com. No, not a Kickstarter for According to Jim.
To raise money to have things stop happening?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to do that.
Because, like, if we could have, like, a Justin Bieber Kickstarter.
Well, he's doing that to himself.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow.
He's helping. He's falling apart, isn't he?
He is. He's falling apart. But you know what? Here's my thing about Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you are a pop star, you got to look at the past of pop stars and know that you have, like, you hit a ceiling and then you got to stop.
Yeah.
And the smartest thing that these guys could do, this isn't funny, by the way, this is just a statement.
Yeah, not everything has to be funny on this. So far,
nothing has been funny. I know.
Why start now?
But if I was Justin Bieber, just stop. And just, like, move to fucking Hawaii with $1 billion.
Come back and have a comeback tour.
Yeah.
People love comeback tours.
Yeah, people.
When According to Jim comes back next season, you guys are going to, and I'm fucking doing the, me and Belushi and Courtney Thorne Smith are doing the stand-up Belushi tour.
Oh, that's going
to
be great.
Oh, you'll be hosting it.
Who won't come to that? Everyone.
Brad will be fucking all the wives of all the cast members.
I'll be over there going, hey, is Jim on stage yet? Because I got his wife back here. I'm ready to go. She's on deck.
By the way, Brad's just kidding, Jim. We'd love to have him on the show anytime you're free.
Seriously.
No, okay,
but
so
Brad will come on your wife's tits. That's just a thing he does. It's part of his shtick.
It's his closer.
It's his closer.
You know what? Dogs mark their territory by urinating on things. I got to come on things.
Exactly.
And that's how you know. It's like the mark of Brad. It's like Zorro. Like
yeah, exactly.
It's like Zorro.
Yeah.
Holy shit. By the way, how there hasn't been Midget Zorro made by Disney yet is beyond
why
me.
Why is
you're
gonna
make
Zorro 20 not being
call,
made?
You're gonna
call your agent.
Yo, 20 Air Buds, 16 Land Before Times. You can't make one Midget Zorro.
One Midget Zorro. Come on!
Maybe that's the name of the studio. One Midget Zorro.
Or just Midget Zorro Studios.
Midget Zorro Studios.
Welcome to Midget Zorro Studios, everybody.
Or just not a car wash cafe.
Or how great was According to Jim? Studios.
Or just call it a Corn and Jim Studios.
You know what's funny? My mom, when she would tell people I was on it, she kept butchering it. So she'd be like, my son's on that show, The Life with Jim. Or the way Jim sees it, it's the way that
Jim's philosophies.
He's on the John Belushi show. I was like, that's not even the same brother, Mom.
He's been dead before I was born.
Yeah. Wait, no, what were you? Bieber. Sorry, we were cutting you off.
That was it. All I'm just saying is
he should stop.
He should stop.
Because you think he's getting into the territory of about to go crazy
and go down. Yeah. Like when you're on the top, you could just sort of like go boom, you know, then just leave. And
also, people are starting to want to hate.
Also, I saw on Today's show today, there was some kid named Austin something. You know this guy?
No.
He basically looks like the new Justin Bieber.
Oh,
and
shit,
and I was like,
dude,
there's a new Justin Bieber, and Justin Bieber's got to fucking get the fuck out of town.
Yeah. And also, don't try to compete. Just step away. Yeah. Because then it looks like you weren't threatened. He's just like, I want to take a break from the business. And people will go, cool, because you've been in it for 18 years,
yeah,
you're
half
probably
your life.
And also, but what sucks about it is that like you can't grow up with that much attention and that much Beatle type craze and not be a little nuts, man. I mean,
can you imagine like Justin Bieber being like, I'm being normal today, I'm just gonna go to the Coffee Bean.
No way.
No fucking way.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah. So you go away and then you come back, just like right now, the Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block and Boys to Men are.
You don't
on
think
tour
I'm gonna
together.
Go see that?
Yeah. That's an awesome tour.
That's an awesome tour.
And they're selling out the Pond.
Well, girls in their 40s need something to masturbate to. But
see,
that's
see, with my comedy career, that's kind of my thing. I'm just never going to start. And I'm waiting for the right time to actually come back.
Isn't that great? And then, but then you can trick people by going, Daniel's come back. And they're like, oh, shit. And then there's all this interest because they're like, well, what? We got to look up his old. Was he ever here? Like, what did I miss?
Nothing. Yeah. The Dan Levy Comes Back From Nothing Tour, 2013.
I like it, Dan Levy.
It's going to be good.
Can I get a guest set?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You could have if you called me earlier for the other one, by the way.
That's hilarious.
It's so annoying, too, because, well, I don't want to talk about it.
What? Why?
No. Because I don't want to, you know, talk shit about things that could only really...
That could hire you.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Dan, we got to talk. We have a few more minutes left here, but we do got to talk about your history with web videos because that's a big part of was for both of our lives, and I'm still doing it because I just, you know...
Because, you know, the movie The Heat hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
So you still got some time.
Hey, but I'm hoping, man, after that, maybe a show... Like, what I'm hoping... Because I'm not doing videos to make money. I just met with a few YouTube people who do it all the time, and I'm just like, I can't treat it like a job because it's not fun for me. I do it all my own time.
Yeah.
And
it's also funnier. I mean, your videos are really funny, but when you're just like doing them when you want to do them, they're better than like the people who are like putting on lipstick and being like, "Wah."
Also, unless I'm getting paid, if I want to get to the point to where, yes, I have built my own studio with green screen, all that stuff, and I shoot stuff a lot more consistently when I have the. But it takes when you're putting it out of your own pocket, it takes a lot to produce everything.
Exactly.
But anyway, you did a bunch of it.
You don't even have a couch.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Dan. This is the portion of the show where Dan is super observant. Dan, tell me what else about.
Well, you have a real ugly red lamp, so that's good.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. That's actually that was taken from the set of According to Jim, which will be back on Netflix in 2016.
I think they still run reruns on Lifetime channels.
Donate money to Killstarter.com.
You know, Henry Winkler left me a voicemail. This is the coolest part of that whole job, right? I'm pulling up to go to the lot, and you know, all my sketches and stuff. I have weird props and puppets. I have a black guy puppet and a fat suit in my trunk, and the woman has to check my trunk as I'm pulling into CBS Radford, where you guys did Whitney.
Sure.
Also where I shot According to Jim. And so I pull in, and she looks in the back of my trunk, and I'm super nervous because I'm like, my first TV thing. I'm like, fuck, it's a day of taping. And she looks back. She holds up the fat suit and the puppet, and she looks in the – and I look in the rear of her mirror, and she looks at me. She goes, let me guess, you single? And I go, hey, I don't need this right now. I'm fucking sweating balls. I check my voicemail. Winkler, I'd called him, been like, you know, because his son was in my frat, Max, and we got to know each other. I interned on Hollywood Squares. So I would call Henry every couple months for advice.
We've never talked about you interning on Hollywood Squares.
Oh, yeah. Next episode.
What the shit?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I don't even know you, Adam Ray.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
And so I call Henry. He leaves me a voicemail as I'm going into set. And the
he
voicemail.
Fucked Henry Winkler. just so everyone knows.
I did.
You guys all know the
same
people.
And when Henry Winkler comes, he just goes, hey. He does that. It's amazing.
Hey, you got a towel. And so he leaves me a voicemail that just goes, Adam, you're going to be great. Treat Mr. Belushi like an emperor. You're there for a reason. They cast Adam Ray because they love Adam Ray. They think Adam Ray's funny. You know you're supposed to be there. Don't just do the bare minimum. If you have an idea, speak up. You're not there to fill space. Congratulations. All the best. And I listen to that That's as awesome. I'm going in. Yeah, and I wish I didn't have a fucking shitty little flip phone so I would have somehow saved the voicemail.
Oh.
So now I just have the impression in my head.
Dude, I want to listen to that every morning. I mean, granted, my name's not Adam Ray, and kind of need to fill in a few blanks there, but still, it's good.
Well, when Aquarian comes back, we'll get you on, and we'll have Henry give you a call.
Yeah.
But Dan, so the video that you and I did that was... still gets talked about, that I still get people telling me is their favorite video of mine, and I'm like, cool, didn't even do it. But I was a part of it and super proud to be a part of it.
You were so funny in it.
Tell Brad about it. I showed it to him before you came here.
Basically, it's a video called Drunk vs. Highs. It was for Comedy Central, and what we basically did is Adam got super high.
Yeah, by the way, and not just super high as I've probably been in the last... You know, I've been smoking pot for 8 years. Now it's dropped off quite a bit.
Yeah.
But there's probably 5 times I can think of where it was, like, dangerously high.
Yeah.
This, towards the end, when I jumped off the trampoline into the foam pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, moments away from having a heart attack.
Well, yeah, basically what we were doing, me and my friend Todd Schultzen, who ended he directed Howard and Kumar 3.
Did he really?
Yeah, he directed, you know.
That's awesome.
That was, like, the start of the pot-related shit. But, yeah, he directed that. And basically we wanted to do this sort of, like, double dare type thing called Drunk vs. High. But we wanted to be for real.
Yeah.
So we got Adam, who I knew, to get high. And then we basically got this other guy named Cameron who we didn't really know. He was, like, a fallout. Like, he was basically someone else couldn't do it who I knew. And then he was like, I'll do it. And we got him super, super drunk. He was in way worse shape than you.
Yeah. So this was real in terms of they were really high, and he was
really,
really drunk.
Yeah. And it was at 11 a.m. in Van Nuys, the gymnasium.
At a little gym with an obstacle course. We're basically the first one I think you saw where we're – you can go see this online. I think it's on YouTube. Just type in Drunks versus Highs.
Yeah, or on my website.
Or DanLevy.com. DanLevyShow.com.
Yeah. Perfect.
DanLevyShow.com.
Yeah.
And so it's basically the first one, we're walking along one of those balance beams.
Yeah.
And there's a Mario Brother type flag at the end. I think I said something about that. I go, I felt like Mario grabbing the flag at the end, and you were just like, high.
It's so high. And it was so good because you're the funniest in that because you are so high. And when you're trying to talk about like how it just went, it was so funny. But you were funny and you were high. And we noticed at one point Todd was like, hey, I think Adam's not getting – Adam's like not as high right now. So he took you in the car.
Took me in the car and got me higher. And so and I'm sitting there and
– it's the greatest set in the history.
Oh, it was incredible. And then that's when we had the one where we had to – the next stunt. Some of them were actually, you know, stunt things. And one was just like you have to jump off a trampoline into a foam pit and do some sort of cool jump. And I jump into this foam pit. And I think at one point I said I felt like I was in Labyrinth and all the hands were touching Jennifer Connelly when she was falling down the fucking trap door.
It was insane.
And I couldn't get out of the foam. I couldn't get out of it. And I literally was in there. And I was, for a moment, I was like, I'm going to have to live here. Like, that was in my head. I was like, I'm going to have to adapt to the foam community.
It was so insane. And
it's be like Fraggle Rock in the foam.
Yeah, it was insane. And Adam was, like, hilarious and high. But this guy, Cameron, we didn't know, was, like, getting blackout drunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To the point where it got dangerous. Where someone, we had to, like, take him home. And then, like, we had to keep on calling him. And his, like, he, like, missed a bunch of appointments. I think his girlfriend
He had something else
him.
To do that day?
Like, put it this way. I don't think he lives in L.A. anymore.
Oh, my God. Dr. Drew is now his roommate.
But it was a great video, and I'm really proud of it.
Drunks versus Highs.
Yeah, you got to check it out.
Oh,
well, Dan, we're out of time.
Right. Well,
but this has been – you obviously got to come back.
Yeah, I'll come back anytime.
So real. But tell us real quick, pitch, because I know you have a new show at UCB. Or no, at Meltdown.
Yeah. Yeah, called Baby Talk. You know, with this new kid, I now have a show where each week – I bring out, you know, a few comedians, and then we all sit down with a 5-year-old kid and interview them and ask them questions of how to become a better father for me.
Oh, please, that's please awesome.
You guys have to do it together. You guys have to do it together.
Dan,
yeah.
Yes. Done. Done.
That sounds unbelievable.
Send in your veils.
The master of the callback.
Dan Levy.
And this is at the UCB Theater when?
It's
no,
at Meltdown,
Meltdown
Theater. It's once a month.
Meltdown Theater.
Once a month. The next show is this Friday. I don't know when this airs, but it's
probably 2 weeks, so won't be out for this one. But but
if you had a manager, maybe he could do some scheduling for you on this next time.
But, yeah, no, but it's once a month. Just go to at Dan Levy, my Twitter, and you'll see the flyers and stuff.
Okay.
But,
Dan Levy is your Twitter.
DanLevy.com.
Dan Levy Show.
No, the website, DanLevyShow.com.
This would be more confusing.
Just Google Jim Belushi and see what comes up.
I'm at Dan Levy.
Yes.
On Twitter, I'm DanLevyShow.com. My website isn't updated. It's fucking terrible. But I'm working on it.
It's great. I was looking at it the other night. You got,
oh, really?
I mean, yeah, it's still great.
I'm going to redo it.
Okay.
I got to step it up.
Well, definitely follow Dan Levy on Twitter.
And you're getting into stand-up more, so check your site for dates. You're going to start headlining again?
Yeah, I'll be out again. I'm, like, performing this whole week, even though this is in 2 weeks. But, you know, I'll be at the Improv June 25th, I think. Is that when this will be around?
Yeah.
Sure.
So yeah, before that, yeah.
Cool. There we go. Adam, what are your...
At Adam Ray Comedy.
Other than Twitter. According to Jim.
According to Jim, check out my scenes on YouTube. AdamRayTV.com. All the headline dates start after the Heat coming out.
The Heat.
Be on Craig Ferguson on Wednesday. Well, this will already be out.
Hope.
I'll be on Chelsea Lately, finally.
Finally.
On Monday, June 24th. The premiere is in New York of the Heat, and Michael McDonald and I fly 7 a.m. the next morning and do Chelsea that afternoon.
Oh, awesome.
I'm going to have to talk to you about that, get some tips.
Yeah, for sure.
Lonnie Love is on the round table with us.
Oh, well, then you're not going to talk, but it should be fun.
Hey, that's the perfect first episode to do.
Yeah.
Just be there and
so
be
Chelsea Lately.
Be there and be eye candy.
I'm at 24.
Yeah. Literally, Lonnie Love will not let you talk.
For real?
For real. But we'll talk about it later.
Michael Cox said he put it on there to like really to have somebody to bring it because he hasn't seen Michael and I yet. But I'm like, I'll be great, man. It'll be fun.
He said
Chelsea has like a joke after each topic, and then you try to have a couple jokes that you pepper in, and you get to maybe four of the six topics.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm kidding. I mean, Lonnie's great. She's like a regular, so she's fine.
Awesome.
She'll be good. And so, yeah, find Adam there. Find me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com. Check out my dates. And this has been great, Dan.
It's been amazing.
This has been fun.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
We should call the studio the Abe Levy Studios.
Ooh, I like that.
Welcome to the Abe Levy Studios, everyone. So signing off from the Abe Levy Studios here.
But seriously, this has been, I just want to, you got to shave the fucking mustache.
Dan Levy, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. Thank you for listening. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.